Translation. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed Mukunda Das with punishment, and in this way vanquished all his mental depression. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Mukunda Das was once forbidden to enter the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because of his mixing with the Mayavadi impersonalist. When Lord Chaitanya manifested his Mahaprakash, he called all the devotees one after another and blessed them, while Mukunda Das stood outside the door. The devotees informed the Lord that Mukunda Das was waiting outside, but the Lord replied, "I shall not soon be pleased with Mukunda Das, for he explains devotional service amongst devotees, but then he goes to Mayavadis to hear from them the Yoga Vashishta Ramayana, which is full of Mayavadi philosophy. For this I am greatly displeased with him." Hearing the Lord speak in that way, Mukunda Das, standing outside, was exceedingly glad that the Lord would at some time be pleased with him, although he was not pleased at the moment. But when the Lord understood that Mukunda Das was going to give up the association of the Mayavadis for good, he was pleased and he once called to see Mukunda. Thus he delivered him from the association of the Mayavadis and gave him the association of pure devotees. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gina Jina Sakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Pandeham Shiguro Shiyuta Padikamalam Shigurun Vaishnavamscha Si Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganad Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna, Karuna, Sindhu, Deena, Bandhu, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika, Kanta, Radha, Kanta, Namostate, Tapta, Kanchana, Gaurangi, Radhe, Brindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu, Suti, Devi, Pranamami, Hari, Priye, Pancha, Kalpa, Tarubhischa, Kripa, Sindhu, Pyevacha, Patita nam pavane bho vaishnave bhyo namaho namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Maam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shimakti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pucharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pastyatya De Satarine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi. Impersonalism and voidism. Srila Prabhupada's Pranam Mantra describes his mission, and that is to go to the Western world to spread Lord Chaitanya's teachings, and that is the philosophy of Bhagavad Dharma, the teachings of Lord Krishna as it applies, as is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and to destroy ignorance. And that ignorance takes the form of philosophy, which is below what is called the standard understanding of what is the nature of the Absolute Truth. A partial understanding or a mistaken understanding. And Srila Prabhupada made that his mission. And he adopted that pranam mantra to show the world that this is why he's there. Because he said the world is full of impersonalism, voidism, which takes the form of different philosophies, and particularly Mayavadiism, which we were hearing in this particular verse. The philosophy of Mayavadi is very insidious and teaches something which is contrary to the Absolute Truth. There's a statement in the scriptures that says, Soham, I am that. So Sometimes it's, yes, soham, soham. I am that. Well, what is that? The absolute truth. But it doesn't really mean I am the absolute truth. It means I'm part of the absolute truth. In other words, I'm not the whole, but I'm the part of the whole. So the Mayavadis take that statement, say soham. That means we're all soham. We're all ultimately the absolute truth, or we might say the Supreme Lord, who's covered over with his own energy called Maya. And the process of purification is to realize your God. And once you realize your God, then you have attained perfection. I'm God, you're God, we're all God. Prabhupada said we are God-like because we have that nature. Jivar, Surupai, Krishnar, and Nityadas, all living beings are part and parcel of the Lord. All living beings are part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hold your questions for a while. But we are not the absolute truth, just like a spark to the fire. The quality of the spark is similar to the fire, but the quantity is different. The spark is coming from the fire, but the spark is not the fire itself. It is simply a fraction of that fire, known as the spark, or infinitesimal part of the fire. So unless this is clear, then the idea that I am the absolute truth. And it goes on in a very covered way. There's a pastime in the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu where one of his most intimate associates, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, was living in Kashi, or what we say also say, what is another name for Kashi? Varanasi. He was living in Varanasi. He had heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri to attend the Rath Yatra, and the Lord was calling all his associates to join him for this Rath Yatra festival. So Raghunath Bhatta Goswami decided to make the trip. On his way, he stopped at one dharmshala, and he met a very wonderful person whose name was Ramdas. Ramdas became immediately attracted to Raghunath Bhatta Goswami and asked that, I want to travel with you, I want to assist you, I want to do whatever I can to hear from you and also to get your association. Being very humble and very, what we say, devotional in mind, Raghunath Bhatta said, oh, of course you can join me. Now this person was chanting constantly the name of Ram. He would chant Ram's name always. And seeing that, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was very inspired. So they traveled together. And after some time, it was actually weeks and weeks before they reached Jagannath Puri, they found out where Lord Chaitanya was, and both of them went to see Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya saw them both coming, he was very happy. And he greeted Raghunath Bhatta Goswami in a very wonderful way, a very loving way, and asking him how he was and everything. But one thing he didn't do, he didn't even look at this devotee named as Ramdas. He completely ignored him. And he just simply talked to Raghunath Bhatta, and it was like this person wasn't even there. Now Ramdas, whose name was thinking, he's not even looking at me. He's not even talking to me. Why? Finally, when he asked that question in his mind, the Lord said to him, give up this idea of becoming Ram. You're a servant of Ram. You are not Ram. You can never become Ram. So what Ramdas was thinking is, if I chant the names of Ram, I become Ram. But no one could see that. Everyone was thinking, oh, he's such a nice devotee of Ram. But his motivation was to become Ram, or to become the Supreme Lord through chanting the Lord's name. So this is how Mayavadi philosophy has covered itself. They chant mantras also. And some they chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And they also worship the deity. But they think that the deity is a manifestation of the material energy just for the sake of worship. it is required in order to focus our attention on the Supreme, but at the same time, when we become the Supreme, we no longer need the deity. We go beyond the deity, we become the deity. I remember I was in Chicago, and I met this one very nice young lady who was quite popular within her religious tradition. She was from a particular sect here in India. And the first thing she did, she wanted to get an interview. She wanted to know more about devotional service, about bhakti yoga, about our temple. So I spent a lot of time with her, and she gave me her resume of all her wonderful achievements. I was thinking, she's a little proud, but that's okay. She was listing all these wonderful articles glorifying all her position and her achievement. I thought, all right. But then we were talking philosophy, and then I said, well, let's go to the temple and we'll go see Radha and Krishna. So she came, and then she said, oh, they're so beautiful. Yes, yes, we worship Radha and Krishna, and soon we will become Radha and Krishna. I said, excuse me? And she said, oh, yes, that is our process. We worship the Lord to become the Lord. And then once we are the Lord, we are all the Lord, actually. You don't know that? And I said, actually, I have something else to do right now. So maybe I started to argue with her, but it wasn't getting anywhere because obviously she was stuck on her ignorance. So this goes on. There's a lot of it everywhere. In fact, it's everywhere. Bhakti compared to what goes on in other spiritual circles as the Vedic culture, the Vedic philosophy, the Vedic spirituality is much more profuse and much more, what we say, it's very, what we say, insidious. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very angry with Mukunda. He was extremely angry, as it mentions here in the purport, because Mayavadi Aparade, Mayavadi Base Aparade, that the Mayavadis are offenders to Krishna. And Mayavadi philosophy is so dangerous and so insidious. If you hear it, they say, your spiritual life is doomed. What does it mean by hearing it? Sometimes we hear it. What does that mean by hearing it? If you hear it in a submissive way, in other words, if you open your mind and heart to what is being explained, or if you read, that creates a doubt about the nature of the absolute truth. And you cannot become enthusiastic in the mood of service, because the Mayavadis don't understand the principle of service. They understand the principle of meditation, studying the Vedas, various types of austerities. They're very austere. But it's not about seva. It's about receiving seva. So my Lord Chaitanya taught, and Prabhupada really emphasized this, because a lot of the Mayavadis quote the same verses we do, but their interpretations are different. What is that one verse? Dwiti nasti. Who knows that verse? I forgot. That the absolute truth is non-dual. And we also say that, but it's not dual and non-dual simultaneously. In other words, God is one and different from everything. But that oneness is that everything is by nature of the absolute truth, and that the difference is that there is variety within the oneness. That is our philosophy, achintya, beta, beta, tatva. Achintya is very important, because achintya means that which is inconceivable. How can something be same and different simultaneously? You don't find that anywhere. But in the absolute truth, contradictions amalgamate themselves to higher spiritual principles. There's something can be same and different at the same time be truth in both ways. So the living entity is the same as the Lord, but the living entity is different than the Lord. And you'll see some verses in scriptures emphasize the oneness, some verses emphasize the difference, and some verses emphasize both the one and the difference, like that. So choosing which philosophy you want to believe in, you can pick up various verses. even our devotees, can show you verses within the in the Srimad Bhagavatam that emphasize the oneness and also emphasize the differences. Both of these need explanations in relationship to the higher principle that actually everything is both one and different simultaneously. So this is a very dangerous philosophy. I remember I went to Barcelona, Spain in 2004 for an interfaith conference. It was the World Parliament of Religions. And people in very, what we say, prestigious religious organizations around the world came as a type of, what's the word, circus or bonanza? It was more like a circus from our point of view. There was everything there. There was the Wiccans and whatever else you wanted. And so it was an event that was held every 5 years in one place in the world. And so one night was the Hindu night. So, of course, we had a temple in Barcelona. And so we went, and the Mayavadis had gotten there first and took over the whole program. They took over the stage, and they just took over the microphones. So we came, and we also brought prasadam, and it was a large gathering of other people coming to hear. And Srup Damodar Goswami was also there. And so I was thinking, Maharaj, what are we going to do with this one? So he said, we'll just be patient. So they were speaking their philosophy and giving their stories. And when you listen to it, it sounds really, really devotional. Very devotional. But then again, you keep listening, then they start revealing what their real meaning is. You can become so powerful, one would say. Powerful. You can control the material energy. Powerful. I was thinking, are you married? I'll leave it at that. I think you know what I mean. Who's controlling who? So it went on. And then they asked Srup Damodar Goswami to speak. After they took over the stage for about an hour and a half and did some of their bhajans and spoke. And so he took a verse from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where the purpose of all austerities is Krishna, the purpose of all charity is to understand Krishna, the purpose of all worship is to understand Krishna. So he spoke that, and he spoke it in such a way, I don't think they really got it, but we got it anyway. That was important for the people in the audience to hear. So at the end, everything was practically over, and then we had some facility now, and we just got up and began kirtan. And as soon as we began kirtan, all the Mayavadis, there were about six of them who were actually yogis, they all got up and left. But the amazing thing was their followers didn't leave. They stayed for the kirtan. And at the end of the kirtan, we had a kirtan for about an hour, they came up and said, thank you. This was really nice. We're so happy. We want to learn more. So just through kirtan, we actually inspired their followers to become interested in, you know, bhakti. But the Mayavadi, as soon as kirtan goes, they're gone. They think it's sentimental. They think it's some kind of thing for people who have no intelligence to sing and dance. You have to sit tight and you close your eyes. You meditate on the impersonal understanding of the absolute truth. You study the Vedas. You push your nose this way and that way. You perform great austerities. It's a very, none of them look happy. You ever seen a Mayavadi? It's kind of like some perverted form of gravity. It's not gravity, but it... They all look miserable. I was with Lokanath Swami one time, and he said, you know, ever see a Mayavadi? I couldn't remember. He said, they are always unhappy. I said, you're right, Maharaj. Why? Because there's no bhakti without bhakti, it's all about me through austerities, penances, and various types of vratas that I perform, just so I can elevate my consciousness away from the material energy, so I can somehow control the material energy and not be controlled by the material energy. That's their whole philosophy. And then I become God. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so strong against this. He would get so angry. It mentions in another verse coming up, actually, that Advaita Acharya wanted Lord Chaitanya to see him as his servant. Advaita Acharya was senior to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually honored him and even worshipped him as his senior. But Advaita Acharya knew that Mahaprabhu was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself. And so he wanted to be in a position of serving. But Lord Chaitanya would not allow that. So he was thinking, what can I do to get the Lord to allow me to have that position? So what did he do? He went out and heard Mayavadi philosophy. And then he was coming back and talking about it. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that, he said to Nityananda, he said, let's go see Advaita and Shantipur. I think I have something to say to him. The Lord was really angry, but he was controlling his anger. So they took the path along the Ganga to go see Advaita Acharya. And while they were going, they came across this little cottage, hermitage. And Mahaprabhu said, who lives there? Nityananda said, oh, there's a sannyasi who lives there. Really? Well, that's wonderful. We should get the blessings of this sannyasi. Let's go. So they went in, and there was this elderly gentleman there, and he welcomed them in. They paid their respects, and they sat down. And then Lord Chaitanya thought, oh, we should ask him a question. My dear sannyasi, what is the goal of life? Sannyasi said, thank you. This is a very good question. The goal of life is to enjoy as much as possible. And Lord Chaitanya said, actually, the goal of life is to understand that you're the servant of the Supreme Lord and to serve the Lord in order to please the Lord. And the sannyasi said, just see, this is Kali Yuga. The babes that are just coming out of their womb, they are teaching us who are well-versed in Shastra. Just see. This shows that Kali Yuga is coming in. And then Lord Chaitanya started to say things, and Nityananda said, that's all right, let's not argue. Let's have some prasadam. Oh, and the sannyasi said, okay, very good. So he called his wife. He was a grihastha sannyasi. And said, please prepare food for these guests. And then Lord Nityananda looked at Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya looked at Lord Nityananda, and Lord Chaitanya said, actually, you know, I've been fasting today, so you can just bring me some fruit, that's all. No, no, you're my guest. You should have full prasadam. No, no, just bring a little fruit. And then the sannyasi said, would you like some bliss? And Lord Chaitanya looked at Lord Nityananda. What does he mean by bliss? And Lord Nityananda said, he wants to know if you want some wine. Lord Chaitanya said, let's go. So they ran out the house and jumped in the Ganges with their clothes on. Because it says if you get contaminated, this is the only solution. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai Gornitai Ki Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. So then, after drying themselves off, they continued on their way to Shantipur. When they came to Shantipur, there was a little assembly of Advaita Acharya. Srila Haridasa Thakur was also there, and Advaita Acharya's wonderful wife, Sita Thakurani, and a few other people, and Advaita was speaking Mayavad philosophy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw him from a distance. He was like Lord Nisringadev when he first saw Hiranyakashipu. Or maybe when Lord Shiva wants to dance to destroy the universe. He was so angry, and he just ran as fast as he can. He came up to Dwaitacharya, and he started to beat him on the head. And Lord Dwaita was saying, "Oh, Lord, thank you very much. You are actually accepting me as your servant." And the Lord just kept beating Sitar Thakuran. He said, "He's an old man. You'll kill him." And Haridas Thakur was laughing. So finally, Lord Chaitanya just stopped and said, "Adwaita, what are you doing? You know why I've come. Why are you speaking this Mayavad philosophy?" And the Lord said, and Dwaita said, "Thank you for accepting me as your servant." That's all he wanted. He wanted to be in a position of being subordinate to Lord Chaitanya. So he took some pretty extreme measures. But the point also is that this shows that Lord Chaitanya gave up all other forms of discrimination. When he hears, he becomes so upset. And there is many, many statements. You will see when Lord Chaitanya was, one devotee came to see Lord Chaitanya. He had written a poem about Lord Jagannath. And in order to see Lord Chaitanya and show the poem, he had to go through Sarup Damodar Goswami. Because Lord Chaitanya, if he heard anything that wasn't bhakti, that was written or expressed, he would become very unhappy or very upset. So Sarup Damodar Goswami was there to screen people to come and see what they were writing or saying. So he said to him, "Well, actually, tell me what." And then this person started to describe how the Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared in Jagannath Puri in the form of wood. And he is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead who appears in different ages at different times for different missions. When Sarup Damodar Goswami heard that, he said, Where did you get this nonsense?" He says, "You're saying that the Lord is made of wood." He's not. "You're relegating his form to something material. This is an offensive." And then he argued with him and corrected him. And then once he corrected that, then he showed it to Lord Chaitanya. So this is another example how they couch their philosophy in very nice language. But unless you actually have a clear understanding of Maya, what is not Krishna conscious philosophy, what is Mayavadi philosophy, it's easy to fall into that. And Prabhupada was very, very strong that we should very carefully study these books and understand what is the difference between Bhagavad Dharma and anything that is not true, pure devotional service. Because karma and jnana, there are pure karmas, there are pure jnana, but the Mayavadis and the impersonalists, they mix in material principles with karma and jnana, and they make it, they abrogate or they pervert the real pure karma and jnana with something material. So this is just like the Mayavadis would say, "Well, the guru is like a ladder. And you need a ladder to climb up to a high place. But once you get to the high place, the ladder is no longer needed. Then you can just throw the ladder away." But our understanding is that the guru remains eternally as your spiritual master, even when you go back to Godhead. He's there to greet you and also to engage you in your, what we say, your eternal relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world. Sometimes people will say, "How will I recognize him?" And Prabhupada said, "You'll recognize." You'll recognize like that. So these are examples. When I was in New Vrindavan, when Srila Prabhupada came in 1976, we greeted Prabhupada. And Prabhupada came with his entourage. And he sat down on the Vyasasana, and it was time for Guru Puja. So one of our devotees started singing the Guru Puja, one of the New Vrindavan devotees. And at the end of the song of the Guru Puja, he stopped. And that was the end. Prabhupada immediately looked at his sannyas servant, who was Pushta Krishna Maharaj, and said, "Chant." And then he began the Maom, and then he started this chant, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So I was one who was quite curious why Prabhupada did that, and many other devotees felt the same way. Later we found out that Prabhupada said, you can't worship the Guru without worshiping Krishna, you can't worship Krishna without worshiping Guru. Because if you worship Krishna without worshiping Guru, that's Sahajya. And if you worship Guru without worshiping Krishna, that's Mayavada. Because Mayavadis teach that the Guru is everything. Guru Brahma, Guru Shiva, Guru Vishnu, Guru, 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 Guru. And I am the next Guru. Everyone's Guru because we worship the Guru to become Guru, and Guru is actually God. So, Haribo. That's their philosophy. So, Prabhupada's books, especially the Chaitanya Charitamrita, especially in the very beginning chapters, chapter 5 and chapter 6 about Lord Nityananda and Advaita Acharya, speak very, very extensively about what is actually bhakti, and as opposed to what looks like bhakti but may not be bhakti. So here, Mukunda, he's speaking Yoga Vashishta. Lord Chaitanya says, I don't want to see him. He will not get my association at all very soon. In fact, the details of this pastime go on to explain that Lord Chaitanya said, I don't want to see Mukunda for 10 million lifetimes. First he says, I don't want to see him at all. But then when Mukunda became upset, the Lord said, all right, 10 million lifetimes. Because the devotees were trying to get Lord Chaitanya to change his mind and be compassionate to Mukunda. But the Lord wouldn't said, all right, 10 million lifetimes he can see me. When Mukunda heard that, he started to dance in ecstasy. 10 million lifetimes? Only 10 million lifetimes? I'll see you again, 10 million lifetimes. When Lord Chaitanya realized he was willing to wait that long to get his association, the Lord's heart became soft. It's always soft. But it says that Lord Chaitanya is like soft as a rose and as strict as a thunderbolt. So he can be both. He can be very strong. And he can be very, very soft. So his soft side came out and he said, all right, bring him. Bring him. And then Mukunda came and got the mercy of the Lord. So we can see from these pastimes what really displeases them. And Prabhupada was very strong. Prabhupada was very lenient in giving people a chance to engage in devotional service. But Prabhupada, one thing he would never compromise the philosophy, even a slight bit. Because he said, as soon as you do that, then eventually everything is finished. Everything is finished. As soon as we compromise the true teachings of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Mayavad philosophy looks like the same thing. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu walked into the temple of Lord Jagannath and saw the beautiful form of Lord Jagannath, after coming from a distance, he fainted in ecstasy. And one of the guards, thinking he was some kind of sahajya, took a stick and was about to beat him. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, no, stop. And then he arranged for some of his assistants to take Lord Chaitanya, who was still unconscious, to his home. And he cared for them there. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a Mayavadi. But when he saw Mahaprabhu, he was so attracted by his transcendental form and his beauty. He said Mahaprabhu actually preached and changed people to Krishna consciousness just by his persona. He was so beautiful and so big. He was huge. He was about 2 meters tall. That was Mahaprabhu. He wasn't a little guy. He was 2 meters tall, and but one embodiment of beauty. And his arms reached all the way down to his knees. His eyes went all the way to his ears. And when he smiled, the whole world changed to ecstasy. So when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya saw the Lord, he took him to his home. And then after some time, the Lord came back to consciousness. And then he was thinking, I should teach this person something about philosophy, because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the most renowned scholar at the time within Jagannath Puri. He was so powerful that what he did, this is an amazing thing. Was it Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya or someone else? Maybe it was Ganga Narayan. But he memorized an entire scripture that was not allowed out of Mathila. It was one particular scripture that the residents of Mathila, the place where Sita Devi was born, they had this one scripture that they would not allow anyone to copy it or take it. So if you wanted to learn it, you had to come there. So I think it was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya or... He went there and he memorized the whole scripture, came back and wrote it down. And that way Navadvipa Pandit Sen got the scripture. So he was such a highly qualified personality. And he was thinking, I should teach this young sannyasi, who's very beautiful, the absolute truth. So Lord Chaitanya was very happy to meet Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And he said, I would like to speak to you the Vedanta Sutra. And Lord Chaitanya said, fine, I would like to learn Vedanta Sutra from you. And so he started to speak. And for 7 full days, he spoke Vedanta Sutra. The Vedanta Sutra is the basic principle of Srimad Bhagavatam. From the Brahma Sutras come Vedanta Sutras, from Vedanta Sutra comes Srimad Bhagavatam, which is an expansion of the Vedanta Sutras, because the Vedanta Sutras are in codes. And so Vyasadeva took those codes or sutras and expanded them to Srimad Bhagavatam. And that's what we have. So when he was speaking Vedanta Sutra, Lord Chaitanya didn't say a word. He was completely quiet. And for 7 days, he just listened. After 7 days of speaking most of the day, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, you know, you're not asking any questions. You're not saying anything. You know, what do you think? The Lord said, Vedanta Sutra is like the sun, and your interpretation is like a big cloud over the sun. That's the first thing he told him. And then, you know, he was shocked because no one ever said anything like that to him before, because he was known as the scholar. So everyone would listen to him. Here's this young sannyasi speaking like that. And he said, oh, you know better. I would like to hear from you. And then the Lord spoke. This is the Vedanta. And when he spoke, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was astounded. Astounded to hear the Lord's explanation. He spoke in such elegancy, with such depth of understanding, in such a way that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya just paid his obeisances and said, who are you? He said, I'm just a servant of Krishna. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's nephew was Gopinath Acharya, who was an associate of Lord Chaitanya. And later he came and said that, actually, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself. But you're such a Mayavadi, you can't even recognize that. He's chastising his uncle. So Sarvabhauma was getting it from all sides. So I actually, when that teaching that Lord spoke in the discussion with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is the 7th chapter of Madhya Lila. No, not the 7th. What chapter is that? And that's the, nah, it might be the seventh chapter of Madhya Lila. I think it is. If you read that chapter, the discussion between Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Lord Chaitanya, you'll understand everything about Mayavada philosophy, Vaishnava philosophy, and the difference of both. That's a compact educational presentation of our philosophy given by Lord Chaitanya himself. Because it's very important that devotees have this working understanding of this knowledge. Because we do associate a lot with the general Hindu community. And a lot of it is polluted by Mayavadi or impersonalist philosophy. So we have to be careful. And that doesn't enter into our society. Because if it does, then Krishna's gone. Krishna's gone. So it's very important. Sutapa, can you say something in this regard? I know you have a great knowledge of this understanding. Later? Thank you. Any questions or comments?